All right. Okay, so the title of my talk is Simplifying, Sketching Amplitudes with a B, and that's not a typo. Okay, so this is based on a paper that I've written together with Sasha Goncharov, who is a mathematician from Yale. He works on the theory of modes, and Mark Spradlin, who is here, and Christian Vergu, who is here. So I'm going to describe this. So again, this would be a very basic and introductory talk. So I know there are many experts in the audience, so this is not really aimed at you. This is made at those people who came and asked me what is the symbol. So I'll try to explain it. Okay, so what I'll do, I'll give a very, very brief introduction into a new tool for analyzing multi-loop scattering amplitudes. And that tool is called a symbol. So we're going to talk about symbols of amplitudes. I'll explain what a symbol of an amplitude is. It comes, a notion of a symbol of a transcendental function comes from a sophisticated, very modern mathematics. Comes from a theory known as a theory of motifs. I'm not going to have much to say about that. I'll just refer to the experts. And what we did, we used this notion of a symbol in our paper, so we sort of introduced it to physics, to simplify a particular amplitude. So it allowed us to write some complicated, 17-page formula that Mark showed you during his talk a couple weeks ago, in a line. But of course, it's a much more, we looked at a very particular example. But of course, symbol is a very general tool, and not only we're able to write that compact formula, but our result gave us hope for an all-order solution, so it motivated many people to start looking for other cases and hopefully solve higher points and higher loops. And indeed, that's what happened. So Simon just solved all two-loop. He found a symbol for all two-loop, all n amplitudes, and the paper will be appearing. His paper will appear next week. So that's what he's going to describe in the second part of this talk. Okay. All right. So the plan will be the following. So I'll start with a very, very basic introduction. Then I'll define for you. The definition will be physicist's definition. I'll define for you what the symbol is. And work through a couple examples explaining why it's useful. So I'll do a couple really, everybody I hope will become an expert in complicated polylog functions after 30 minutes. So I'll work through a couple examples, and then I'll just sketch our hexagon, so two-loop, six-point result, and I'll, give you sort of an outlook for what we're expecting next. Okay, any questions? All right, so let me start with introduction. So, okay, so we've heard a lot of great talks here, and we've seen a lot of progress in n equals to 4 Young-Mills amplitudes. And the standard lore, of course, is that if you take an amplitude, if you look at the amplitude, so in this talk, I'll talk about an n equals to 4 planar super Young-Mills planar. And the standard law, of course, is to write an amplitude as an integral of some momentum, so loop momentum of some integrand. So that's how we typically, we want to compute some 17 points, 25 loop amplitude. We write an integrand and then we integrate it. Okay. So and as you heard in many talks. So the problem sort of splits in two parts. First, you want to write down the integrand, and then you want to integrate. And as, for example, Zvi emphasized in his talk, and you know, many other people, so first, first you have to write down the integrand, and this problem is essentially solved for planar n equals 2 for young males, and you heard also from Nima. So there are rules, there are recursions, there are lots of techniques, so you can write down an integrand for any n equals to 4 young males planar algebra. So there are, of course, you know, it started with Zvi and friends, with the unitarity technique, so then there are like lots of kind of things. So, but the problem of finding an integrum is solved. Okay, so what comes next? Next you have to find an integral. And this is hard. Okay, so we still don't know. So there are, these integrals are very complicated. You know, you need to, there are lots of techniques, there's numerics, there are computer programs, so it's a hard problem, and still we need to solve it. And so, roughly speaking, what simple does for you, and I will again in a second define it, it's sort of, the non-expert way to think about a simple is sort of a halfway between the integral, an integrand, and actually the final answer. So what one can do, one can have a chart like this. So the idea would be, you have the integral, then you do create the symbol, and only then you get to an amplitude. So you could think of symbol as a halfway between the answer and the integrand. Okay. All right. So let me say a few more things about the motivation. So why did we, why this is hard? Okay, so why is this hard? Okay, so we are looking at n equals to 4 planar young males, and let's start looking at examples. Okay, so first we look at tree amplitudes. Okay, we can write down their answers, their recursions. Then we look at one loop all n amplitudes, again, their unitarity, they've been all solved, 15 years ago, problem solved. Next, you move to two loop amplitudes. Okay, so you start two loop 4 points, again, so been solved, two loop 5 points. It's, Amit explained, is determined by, it's essentially 5 point result is fixed by dual conformal symmetry. So so the answer. So the simplest non-trivial case is a hexagon. Simplest non-trivial. Of course, this is as of today, as of 3 years ago. We wrote a whole paper on two loop 5-point amplitudes, and then Zvi and friends wrote another paper on a lot part of that. I'm talking as of today. So, a simplest non-trivial. Well, maybe as of next week it won't be. As of next week, it will be 3 loops. Simplest non-trivial case it would be 2 loop 6-point elementary. Okay, so one starts looking at this amplitude, and first we looked at this numerically, maybe three years ago, and numerically we could compute it for some values, but the important progress came with a paper by Vittorio and Claude. So they made a really heroic effort to actually compute this amplitude analytically, and Mark showed you the result. So in his talk. So and if you look at it, so first of all, as Amit explained, what when I say an output, I really, in this case, means a remainder function. You sort of subtract the BDS part of the amplitude, subtract all the divergences, and then the amplitude is a function of three cross ratios, U1, U2, and U3. Maybe I should write a formula. U1 is S12, S4, 5 over S1, 2, 3, S3, 4, 5. So Sij is Pi plus Pj squared. So it's a function of only three cross ratios. And if you open the paper, you get, it's a really truly heroic effort to compute it. And it, you open it up, and you get 70 pages bunch of polylogs. Now we'll see what these are. Okay, so normally one would lose hope here. Normally one would say, okay, if this is the answer, maybe we should abandon the problem. N equals to 4, maybe the amplitudes are not as nice, and if this, you wouldn't start immediately computing the 7-point case after this, so what motivated us is really the hope and belief that N equals to 4 is really a beautiful theory. Okay, so very good. So now let me so you get this. Mark showed you this stuff, so I'm not going to show it again. Instead, let me write, for some people who maybe don't offhand remember what is a Gottschalk polylog, let me just remind you the definition, and let me tell you also why we didn't have any, there are no tools available to simplify it before we talk to Gottschalk, of course. Let me remind you the classical polylog. Classical polylogs. So Gontcharov polylogs are a generalization of classical polylogs. So these are Li n's. So Li n of z is defined recursively as an integral from 0 to z of Li k minus 1 of t d log t, okay, with Li 1 of z being minus log of 1 minus z. Okay, so that's what we call classical polylogs, and lots of techniques.
You mean n minus 1?
Yes, very good. N minus 1. So for complex now, for now. But for our case, we would want real positive. The U's would be real and positive. So let me just take this as a, this is very, I'm not going to go through, I'm going to be very precise here. I'm just, this is the definition. And as I will momentarily describe, they, of course, obey various identities. This integral representation you can use to prove those identities, or there's a series expansion for these. There's a lot of literature, there are books on these, so these are very, very well studied. Okay, so if this expression were just classical polylogs, I don't think that would be a problem simplifying it. Okay? So now what are these Gontcharov polylogs? So these are generalization. Instead, what happens here is Gontcharov polylogs appear. And these are polylogs. Okay, and so these are the generalization of this. So G, they're called G, G, A K minus one, A one. Z integrals from 0 to z g of a k minus 1 a 1 t d log t mu log t minus ak. So essentially, when a is all zero, they're reduced to ordinary polylogs. And when a is a plus or minus ones, these are called harmonic polylogs. Now, if these were harmonic polylogs, there are also packages available. There's this Daniel Mater package, which you can use to simplify harmonic polylogs. But for the Goncharov polylogs, really, there's nothing available. So, you know, you look at it, you can, you know, there's not much you can do. So you look, you know, Vittorio and Claude and Smirnov, they evaluated the integrals, but, you know, you get the 17-page monster. So if you have, you know, of course, the way you would say it, if you have a 17-page monster of Goncharov polylogs, you need a really serious weapon to battle them. Okay, and that serious weapon, Sasha says it's called Matilic High Tech. So I'm moving to Matilic High Tech now. So we need. And let me give you some introduction to this. All right. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you only have polylogs or polylogs or harmonic polylogs because you're in four dimensions, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in all dimensions, you would have over a type of special function like elliptic integrals, right?
Yes. Well, in six dimensions, there was a nice paper last week by these guys. But yeah, yes, in principle, you know, so far I think people explored four dimensions, six dimensions, for instance, but we want what?
Might not so worry about the elliptic integrals.
Yeah.
Because Brodhoff has this conjecture that after nine loops, the scalar theory already in four dimensions,
yeah,
you need elliptic integrals.
And in fact, also, like for example, I should also mention this QCD, this is n equals four, for example, in QCD, Thomas German showed us an example, right, Mark?
At two loops,
you have elliptic integrals. So this is really, what was, you remember which point? So he showed us a couple weeks ago when he was visiting. So at QCD, you have elliptic.
Only in the massive case.
Yes.
Okay.
If you have sufficiently many extra particles, then things start to look massive.
It's not clear to me that if you go to an arbitrary number of loops in four dimensions for a planar equal four, that you only need the multiple.
This will agree on. Saying that you may not have enough to have to go to very high loops. Two loops and higher number of legs.
Yeah, but for two loops, Simon will show you. I think
yeah, for this two loops.
For two loops, it's okay. All high ends and, you know. Now, 6 points are going to be also special, of course, because, you know, there'll be no bunch of, you know, we'll get to that. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask an ignorant question? If somebody is coming from that side of the field. I mean, you're doing quantum cryodynamics, yeah?
No, I'm doing n equals to four.
So what?
N equals to four Young Mills.
Okay, so this is weak interaction, isn't it?
Yes. This is perturbative amplitudes and then equals.
That's what I was wondering about.
All right. Okay, so great. Matilic High Tech symbol. Finally, I'm getting to the definition of what the symbol is. Okay, you know, the best, I think, is to define a symbol recursively. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give a recursive definition and then work, you know, an example for, you know, degree one and two. Okay, so suppose you have a transcendental function of degree k. You can start thinking instantly, asking me what is a degree k transcendental function. But you know, for physicists, you know, degree one is log, degree two is log squared, Li two, etc. But more generally, you know, if you want a more rigorous definition, it's a function which can be written as an iterated integral. Okay, but for you know, maybe for now, just you know, degree 2 is log squared or root 2. Okay? So what simple does, it maps a degree, so it's a function of degree k, okay. So what it does, it maps it to a tensor processor symbol, we'll call it symbol of a function, k. It maps it to a k, it maps a function to a k-fold tensor product of their multiplicative group of rational functions. So symbol is a, so for degree k is a k tensor product of rational functions with certain properties, which I will explain to you momentarily. So the best is to give you a recursive definition. So if a function could be written, if a differential of tk could be written as sum I over I, sum lower, I'll work out examples momentarily. You can write log over I. If you have a transcendental function, if you take a differential and you write it in this form, where t is the 1 degree lower, and then you have d of log of some other rational function. Momentarily, I'll do an example. Then the symbol of that, momentarily we will do examples and with all the experts, would be this. Will be a symbol of the previous one, t I k minus I, tensor r I. Okay. Now, this tensor product is going to satisfy a few properties, which are inherited from this d log. And the properties are that if you have, well, let me write two properties and then I'm doing an example, okay? So the properties are that if you have, you know, R1 tensor R2 R3, symbol is just a standard tensor product. So these are all inherited from the fact that you have a log, R1 R3. And then the other property is that it's insensitive to a constant. So if you have R1 CR2, this is the same as R1 CR2. Okay? Let me do examples. So degree, we'll start with simple degrees and just write your symbols of all of functions, and you'll see how easy hopefully it's going to be. Okay. So degree 1. Let's start with degree.
I think you need it a little higher for people to hear you on the web.
So degree 1. So degree 1, if we have a function which is log of some rational function, then obviously dt1 is d log r. And so the symbol of that is r. Now degree 2, and this is, okay, so there are two sorts of function, the simplest product of logs and LE2. Okay, so if I have T2, which is, you do log first, log R1, log R2, right? So R1 and R2 are some rational functions. So then I do dt2 is what? Log R1 d log R2, right?
plus log R2 d log R1. OK, so that's here. I have it in the form, in the desired form. So symbol is symbol of a product of logs. Okay. So we have for the symbol T2 is nothing but R1 plus 2 plus R2 times over the R1. Okay? Okay, very simple. Yeah? Okay, so now let me do another one. Let me do T2. Let me do, lead 2. So let me take T2, which is lead 2 of R. Okay, so how do I do this? So I just, this just follows from definition. So I remind you the definition. It's minus log of 1 minus T d log T. And so now dt2 is, of course, minus log 1 minus r d log r. So again, it's in the desired form. So symbol of t2 is minus 1 minus r times of r. OK? Now, of course, I can do similarly recursively for any lead k, right? So if I start, the higher, if I start, say, lead 3, right? So once I write at lead 3, I have an integral of lead 2 d log. So what it does, that d log just brings another power of r. So symbol of lead k z is nothing but minus 1 minus z times the z and this k times. So degree k means you have a k-fold tensor product. Okay, so these were examples. Hopefully everybody now understands everybody knows what the symbol is. So similarly, yeah.
Good question. Especially the minus sign. What's that?
That comes from this.
I have to treat that as a constant minus one.
No. This sign is in front of the symbol. If I had a minus here, this would be the same.
What about that rule? I mean, you had a rule there earlier. That's what you were talking about. That the constant.
No. The constant inside the tensor, not the outside.
Oh, I see. Because it's log.
Yeah, if it were right here, it wouldn't. Yeah. In fact, I'm gonna. Okay. Okay.
And the second question is just following up on what Pierre was asking. If we had something that wasn't a polylogarithm of any sort, but an elliptic function or something.
Yeah, this only works so far for. I mean, it works for Goncharov polylogs. I don't know. I mean, maybe Sasha has some notion of something like that for more complicated things. So there is a well-defined, for any function which could be written as an iterated integral, that's a class of function which this is valid for. As soon as you write it as an iterated integral, that's what that applies to.
You know, I don't know, the way I think about this guy is, I use the Feynman parametrization, and you see clearly there's a quadratic form that you have to evaluate on the Feynman parameters. So you have a polynomial to a power that is either given or either an integer or half integer. And this is why you can see if you are going to get elliptic. So in this category of motives and integrals, and there are as well what people call continuous integral, which is completely different. So I'm not sure that these symbols progress on the case.
Yeah, so for as far as I'm concerned, we're restricting to just iterated integrals, so this is well defined. It could be that there are other generalizations, which it would be interesting to understand.
The Goncharov polylogarithms, you're right, were more than just iterated integrals of rational functions. Everybody was just the form of dt over t minus ak or something like this.
Yeah.
So, that's a very special rational function.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes, it is. But nevertheless, without symbol, we didn't know how to.
Sure, but yeah. Symbol
how to deal with them? Yes, maybe
symbol
if you.
Will apply something much more general than just.
You know, as far as you know, I'm a very simple person. If I can do it, you know, you give me something, I calculate, then I can understand. You know, it could be, but I have to work some examples or something like that. But it could be, you know, Sasha knows much more general things.
Are you using multiplier as well to do multiplier polynomials?
Yes.
Yes.
Any questions? Okay, so the logic, okay, so now I gave you some examples for degree two. Now degree, so what we, let's go back to hexagon. So we were trying to simplify two loop hexagon result, which is a degree four function. So, you know, as you imagine, you know, you go to higher degree, it gets a bit complicated. And, you know, with the definition of Goncharov polylogs I gave you, you can go ahead and work out the symbol of a Goncharov polylog of a transcendentality 4. You know, it's not too difficult. But then, so why is this all useful? And why should you care? You know, what? Okay, fine, I defined some tensor product. What's that good for? So several things. So I'm going to try to explain why it's useful. The point is that what it will do, what symbol does for you, it trivializes all the polylog identities. And I will show example on the board. A polylog identity is reduced to basically like a line. That's number one. And second, so you know, the history is that we saw your formula and we, you know, Sasha was at Brown, now he moved to Yale, so we went to him with this monster, and you know, he started explaining the symbol. Okay, it was nice for lead twos, but you know, we have much more, you know, much more complicated thing. And then Christian, of course, computed the symbol of that 17 pages, and that already reduced to like two lines. So if you, that already was we were very excited about that. But of course, as I will explain, you know, that's a symbol, but we need to reconstruct the function. So that I'm coming, but let me now do some examples of why and explain why this is useful and do some identities. Yeah, I need to hurry up. I'll do maybe one identity. Okay, so I hopefully went through this. So this I defined the symbol. Now I will explain why it's useful, how you can trivialize, and the formulas actually to remember. Maybe I leave it on the board. This one. Because I'm going to write you a couple identities for lead twos, and we'll just prove them using symbol. Okay, so.
Can I ask something? Yeah. All these functions, they grow logarithmically, right? Because when you take a derivative, it's a derivative of a log.
Yeah, so it's very important. Yeah, that's it's set inside. You know, you represent a function of d log, something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's only functions that grow logarithmically. They don't have any poles, right? It's only log branch points.
Mm-hmm.
And we know all the discontinuities through the symbol and their derivatives. So in a way, the symbol is almost better than the function, right?
Yes, and that would be my outlook. And yes, the symbol, maybe that's what many people advocate. So we should, it is very tightly, symbol is connected to discontinuities. So we should be, you know, maybe we don't need the function. Yeah, some people, I think at the Institute, would say that you don't care about the amplitudes anymore. You just care about the symbol of the amplitude. But yes. But still, it would be nice to write a function, right? So, yeah.
What the function?
To be good to know the answer.
Yeah. Numerically, in order to prove that that's correct. But so, you know. Yeah, but it's half. I mean, I think of it as a halfway, and you need to, you know. Yes, you can trivialize that with a symbol.
So
one line.
So what does the symbol do on that?
One line. I will get to that, but let me start with.
Okay, I don't think it's one line already. So.
Yes. But to prove it, it's a line. I'll show you. Okay. I was going to show you. One minute. Can you wait? Yeah. Five-term identity is completely trivial with the symbol. Yeah. Okay. Why is this useful? Let me get it. Why is this useful? Is the symbol useful? So the answer to this, it's it converts identities, polylog identities, into rational function identities. Okay, let me do finally an example.
Identities. Okay.
Okay, so let me write for you the simplest identity. Okay, so as you know,
L2 of x,
do an example.
See how many you're willing to do.
So I'm doing the simplest example.
Okay.
For example, there's an identity like this. So you open Wikipedia, that's the first L2 identity.
What do you mean, log? Isn't that a log on the right hand side?
Yeah, yes.
Sorry.
He knows this identity all by heart, of course, you know. Others, maybe I need to remind you of that. Okay, so why is that obvious? Now, okay, so that's an identity.
Identity is true if x is real.
Yeah, fine. Let's just take a symbol of both sides. Okay, I've shown you the formula, so we know this is the symbol. Let's write a symbol. Okay, L2 of x. Everybody needs to pay attention now because this is crucial. Okay, so this is L2. Okay, so minus this one. And what is this? 1 minus x. So 1 plus x minus x. Okay? Everybody?
Minus?
What? Because this is a symbol of L2 of minus x. So a symbol of L2 of x is this. So now I change the x to minus x. Very good. Now, what I taught you some rules, right? So remember, I taught you constant inside the symbol doesn't matter. And if you have x here and x here, you can multiply this and write it minus 1 minus x. Right there.
Yeah, you think you wrote this. I have a wrong
equation. 1 over x. 1 minus x.
Oh.
No, I want this one. Wait.
I know I can say this V2 of x squared.
Wait.
SV was wrong. Oh, respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully, XV was wrong. Yes. My notes are correct. Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, my notes are correct. I'm sorry, XV. But I will do the one with log if you want. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, I'm getting old. Sorry about that.
No, I'm getting too like.
I'll try to stay young.
Okay, so what do we see here? The left-hand side is this. Now, what is this? This you can write as minus 1/2 x squared, right? And what is this? This is nothing but the symbol of 1/2 L2 of x squared. Is that too fast? Again, maybe. Is that too fast or clear?
Do another example.
So symbol of, I mean, here's an identity. So symbol of this, and the symbol of that. And this is an algebraic operation, right? Uh-huh. Let me do another one. So this is, I think, the simplest. Now I'm going to do it with 1 over x, which is a little, let me see, which one I want to do? Okay, I want to deceive you first with nobody said this, but of course I chose an identity without pi's, and there's a reason for that. Yes, I chose this one. Okay, let me do another. I'll do maybe two more. Actually, let me do the one with pi. Okay, and you will see minus x plus 4x log 1 minus x, 2 minus L2 of x. Because these are really baby examples, but okay. The important point with all the greatestness of symbol, it misses this. Of course, it misses this. Okay, let's start writing it out. So here you have, what do you have? You have So 1 minus this would be x, and then here would be 1 minus x, right? Now, symbol of log, remember, it's log f log g I wrote, that would be g tends to f plus f tends to g. Mm-hmm. So it would be here plus x tens of 1 minus x plus 1 minus x. I hope everybody's paying attention, because this is a, if you have a question, ask me, because this is really, okay, so you write it, the left-hand side, what do you see? You see this, right? Okay, and what do you see here? You see this is nothing but the symbol of minus li to x, okay? You see? Everybody sees this? Yeah? Yeah? Do you need another example? No, is a. Anybody needs another example to see? Nobody to you.
Can you actually explain how to reverse
it? Yeah, I will come into that. Yeah, but you don't need another example. So very good. So what the point is that again, you have a polylog identity and you convert it into a rational function identity. Okay? So this is for baby example, but now imagine doing this for, you know, some higher degree functions. So of course, this is a really powerful method. And this is how we battle the Gontcharoff polylogs. Okay, so I should really wrap up here, but few points are important here. Okay, so, and that's why we needed to do some work, and that's why we still need to do some work to go from symbol to a function. So let me just make some comments. So first, it fixes only the leading functional transcendentality piece. Fixes only leading functional transcendentality. So it didn't know anything about this. Okay, so what do you do in practice? Okay, as I said, we went ahead and computed the symbol of the DDS formula, so Del Duca, Dur, who are here, and Smirnov. And it turned out, you know, what really gave us, you know, first, okay, it was nice, you know, maybe this is just for baby examples, but what was nice, we did go ahead and we computed the symbol, and it was really simple. I don't know if I should write it. The important, maybe I'll just sketch the way it looked like. So it's a four tensor product of things. So remember, it's a function of a cross ratios, ui, uj, u1, u2, u3, and basically, schematically, it had a form which it had the first two entries were always u or times something, which I'm not going to write, times something else. And then it only had terms like this. And some people later explained that some arguments, but that's the way it should be. So you take that horrible formula, and so I'm not writing, makes no sense for me to write what's here. So the thing you need to remember, and I think maybe you're going to talk about this?
Yeah.
How much of that generalizes to higher points. So that's what happened. Okay, it sort of gave us hope. But of course, then we need to work a little bit. So let me again, just maybe one example, explain how you need to do further work. Okay, so very good. You need to do some work. You need to reconstruct the function. So very good. So we were optimistic. So symbol of simple. So we need to integrate it. So how do you approach this problem? So I give you a symbol, say degree 4, and how do you tell me symbol of what function it is? In practice, there's no, as far as I know, there's no constructive algorithm for doing that. You need guessing. You need luck. You need some numerics. You need Christian. So let me do an example. So for example, I mean, it's not, suppose you know the types, it's not only knowing what types of function, you can sort of make an ansatz. Then you go ahead and start making an ansatz. But it's not just the, you know, the functions that you need to come up with. You need to come up with arguments. You know, 3 years ago, when we did numerics for this amplitude, you know, Lance and Others tried, you know, to fit in, you know, take a transcendentally four function and try to fit the data and maybe guess, you know, the function. But it's not easy. And the reason we're not able to do it at the time is because we didn't know what arguments to put. So what you can have, you know, you can have leaf four of some complicated function, rational function of U's. Because we didn't know momentum twisters at the time. Okay, so for example, and it's tricky. Let me show you an example. For example, I give you something like that, and I say, okay, I give you a symbol, you know, two tensor product. How do you write a function? Anybody knows? Okay, so what you do, you write this like this. Really, the knowledge only you have log or lead 2. So you write it like this, write an identity. Then you apply the rules I told you, and you can write this as 1/3 1 minus x cubed, right? So I put cubed and I put 1/3 here, and then have here minus 1 minus x tends to x. Okay? Now this you can recognize, right? This you can recognize because this is what? This is lead 2 of x, right? And this is what? This is minus 1/2 lead 2 of x cubed. So the point of this exercise was to show you that the arguments are non-trivial.
1/3.
1/3, yeah. Okay, this is just an example. Of course, in practice, it's much more complicated. Of course, you know, this also tells you, you know, it's non-trivial to come up with the argument. And maybe I will skip this. You know, what we needed to introduce a clever argument. So symbol, we would notice some square roots having here. So first we introduced this variable z's, which sit in P1, or you can introduce momentum twisters, then you get rid of square roots. And then what happens is that the DDS, the symbol of a DDS function, obeys nice properties. So, nice properties, which I'm not, I'll just. And moreover, Sasha Goncharov had a theorem 20 years back that if one of those nice properties is obeyed, you can actually, the function you're looking for is only classical polylog. So it was really amusing that, you know, when he saw the symbol, he was like, oh, wow, this is, you know, this is a very, very special symbol. You know, it's not, this is a really special thing. It should be a classical polylog. And, you know, he said that, and we spent maybe 2 months, you know, okay, that's nice words, but we have this numerics, we have this expression, we need really to find exactly the polylog. But after hard work, we did find that the answer contained only classical polylogs. So that, I think Mark showed it in his talk. So essentially for 6 points, you get nothing more complicated than Li 4, Li 3 times log. Maybe I'll write it. So you get only Li 4, Li 3 times log, Li 2, and log squared. Nothing more complicated. Of course, then immediately you start. So, of course, you know, I should say we're really excited because, you know, when we wrote an ansatz, it's really matched expressionally, matched numerics, so it all worked out. But again, it was work to go from here, from the symbol to the function. Okay, so very good. So let me sort of wrap up. I already took too much time. And let me sort of give you an outlook. Where do we go and what's next? Okay, so...
For fixing the constants, let's say there's an extra pi squared, just numerical.
Numerics and collinear limits, yes.
Collinear limits is strong enough.
Mm?
The linear limits is strong enough all by itself.
Analyticity, you wanna, well, Christian, what are you, yeah,
analyticity and coinarity are very strong.
Very strong, yeah. You start drawing it in various patches in Mathematica, you want it to.
Well, it means that this function is real analytic in the
you
in
all
use region where all these U's are positive.
First we got symmetric point, and then we from then on. It was work.
Is it clear? If there's no branch cuts in the Euclidean region, and you analyze that numerically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can analyze it, and so you can come up with a function with the right symbol, and then you have to change it a little bit to move the branch cuts around.
Yeah, you.
And that's very very constraining. That's essentially just one way of doing it.
You have to unsimplify it. There's a simpler function with the same symbol, but totally wrong.
This junk function, Mark. This J that Mark showed in his talk. But you know, let's not. It's you need Christian. Okay, so let me. Okay, outlook. So I explain to you hopefully the result and what's next. Okay, so where are we? Okay, so I explained to you the notion of a symbol, why it's useful. Hopefully, I convinced you that it, you know, it's a useful tool in simplifying expression, but you know, we were able to get this two-loop hexagon result. Of course, this is just one point. Okay, this is just one point. This is two loops, 6 points, MH3, very specific. But of course, you know, one data point is infinitely better than none. And you know, for the past year, I dare to say, we've been trying, and especially Christian, been trying to understand, you know, higher points, higher loops. What else could you do? So let me just so obvious directions are so higher points, so two loops all n. So here Simon just constructed the symbol for all two loop all n function. So he has a symbol. He doesn't have a function, but he's gonna in 5 minutes he's gonna explain. His method of not only he constructed it, he also has a new method. So there is there'll be a paper next week. Also, I should mention an important paper by yesterday we heard from Amit, so Gaiota, Maldacena, Sever, and Vera. They reduce the hopefully I make it correct. They reduce the all n two loop symbol to a one equation you need to solve. Hopefully it's correct. But you need to do the integral. You know, yeah. You need to do the integral. They reduce the problem to that one integral, right? Formula 44 or something. Is that right?
Yeah,
formula 44 from their last paper. Okay, you need to do. Still need to do the integral. Okay, so they reduced it, and also they made an observation that this property we observed for 6 points u cross u and u cross one minus u hopefully generalizes. Part of their collaboration thinks one way, some other part collaboration thinks the other way. Well, okay.
Is it
true? Yes. Which part of the, is it perimeter or institute collaboration? Who was right here?
No.
This is not how it, it's private. But you write it in the paper.
It's true.
Yeah, maybe we should.
It is true. U and U, 1 minus U, yes.
For higher points. Okay, so very good. Okay, so of course there are high points, there's higher loops. Mm-hmm. There's higher loops. So here I guess there was a paper by Lipatov and and Prigarin. They looked at some three loop case, so still needs to be. So of course, you know, once you, so there's a particular function we wrote, this Lefort, it combines in a function we call L. And of course, it's immediately you start it's tempting to conjecture that, you know, for higher loops 6 points, it's, you know, Le6, Le8, etc. Okay, so there's that. And there's also other dimensions. So there's a nice two papers by GDS and by Dixon. Drummond and Hinn, who looked at, so this is actually a very promising direction. So they looked at a six-dimensional one-loop hexagon. No, one of you will explain. And they found the similar that it's given by the function Li 3. So then, of course, you can start, you know, talking about channelization of that. So we were excited to see the same Li L3 function there. And then, of course, there's a ratio function, which nothing's. You don't have the symbol of that, right? A two-loop you can talk about for non-MHV series.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so this is still on the table. So this, okay, so this would hopefully, at least the symbol will be explained by Simon, but there's also that. But, okay, so this is a really, like, computational, you know, sort of things that gives us hope. But let me talk, let me just make one comment about the philosophy here. Again, so the point that I tried to emphasize is that, of course, you know, if we're faced with a very hard problem, you know, first thing we want to do, we look for something simpler. And indeed, so we start with an integrand, and we introduce a symbol, which is halfway. It's not a derivative. It's not a, you know, it's a halfway between an integrand and integral. But of course, it would be nice if there is a more direct way to getting a symbol. And this is something we also have been exploring, some kind of a picture where you know, you write an integrand and you don't really, because this is what, this smells right, but you know, one has to make it precise. You draw some picture, and then without really evaluating the integral, you just immediately write down the symbol. So there should be some map between the integrand and the symbol. And of course, you know, a lot of recent developments, for example, it's and also I think Nima mentioned that in his talk, it would be nice to, for example, to have some kind of a recursion relations at the level of symbols. So, you know, let's forget about amplitudes for now. Let's talk about symbols of amplitudes and talk about, you know, can you make some recursions at the level of symbols, so you know, have some rules. So I think this problem will probably be solved within a year. And of course, you know, it would be nice to have some object, just like Grassmannian gives you, you know, these leading singularities of amplitudes. Of course, certainly it would be nice to have something like that, an object which gives you the symbol. So there's a lot more to explore here. I think I'm going to ask if there are any questions, and then I'm going to stop, and then Simon will explain his forthcoming paper. Any questions? Yeah.
Other than the fact that the arguments of the symbol turned out to be cross ratios, nothing here really seemed to depend on n equals 4.
No, it did. It's all the you know, if you go to QCD, it's not just the fixed transcendentality. You know, this is Li, you know, the expression we start with has degree transcendentality 4.
Well, the symbol is only sensitive to the sort of highest transcendental piece anyway. So I could take
So it is n equals 4. You know, you take QCD amplitude, you take leading transcendentality, and that's n equals 4. So it's like.
Right. But I could take 5 to the top.
The question you're asking is, I think, is the leading transcendentality part of the answer always made out of cross ratio?
Is that what you're asking?
No. I mean, we you got the symbol somehow, and then you have to do some work, which in this case involved filling in limits to fix the rest. Maybe in QCD you could again get the symbol.
Yeah, but that's n equals 4. See, the problem is, we are optimistic, but we are optimistic, and we think we tried to look at some QCD. Didn't we try to simplify with this technique some of the QCD? Yep, some of your paper, I think. 5 points. But I you know, it just reduced, you know.
Well, there's no question of the ability to manipulate the integrals this way or to capture a lot of the information is information that QCD people can use.
Yeah, no, of course, the integrals, they need the same integrals, you know. Yeah, this technique is about doing integrals, right? So, and these are the integrals that appear. I mean, you have to do them, yeah. So, but it's so far, I think, is a leading.
It's clear it's going to be a white space.
I mean, specific to QCD, yeah, but it's Colin Peel theory, it's doing Feynman graphs. But the thing that worried me now is coming back to, so if you want a recursion relation for the symbol, if such a thing exists,
For n equals to 4, it's
for n equals to 4, it might be very special.
For n equals 4, I'm sure it exists.
But it is, you know, it assumes that you never, no matter how hard, just the existence of the Curtin measure assumes you never get any of these more complicated elliptic type functions which don't have some.
Yeah, it misses, yeah.
Yeah, this
which is really entirely non-trivial. Yeah. I mean, N4 is entirely non-trivial.
Yeah,
so
no, this is the.
So that wouldn't, you know, there wouldn't in a generic theory.
This is how you can choose, but let me just say that Gottschalk says that there exists something like a symbol for the.
Yeah, he would tell you.
Something more complicated.
But, you know, it, yeah, he. Okay, it's different. Yeah.
Dave, I we're talking about N equals 4 angles here. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know why you know this question. All the QCD people canceled their visits here, even, you know.
I'm not sure why N equals 4 is special, but I don't know if it is special.
N equals U.
Yeah, it's all uniform, it's, you know, QCD is leading transcendentality, which is N equals 4 plus other stuff, so.
No, I mean, if you take massless QCD, it's still more complicated because it's not physical.
Yes, but
there are no elliptic functions in massless QCD. Those are the only when you go mass. But still, it is more complicated because it's not uniform transcendentality. So if you go down from 4, you will get 3 functions of the same, you know, weight 3. So to construct a function will be much more complicated. Although it's just massless QCD, and you know for sure to begin with that you have no elliptic functions.
So how does anybody know that these broadest things of 9 loops in some massive theory or whatever don't suddenly come in QCD 27 loops, or in N equals 4 27 loops?
It's
a
lot of questions.
Yeah.
But if they did, a million more loops
in N equals 4. We would be pretty damn lucky if that was the problem I was facing. We're pretty level forward. You know, there's not, you know, this is something for the future.
Yeah, worrying about the.
No, but you're saying.
No, but for N equals 4, you can ask that. Yeah.
Prove to me that these non, you know, that we want the Curtin equation for this object in N equals 4. Which is the next thing that people want to get. The next, not
one of the next things.
One of the next things to some people.
All right, so I'm going to stop now, unless there are more for me, and then Simone is going to explain the OLAN.